Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody here this morning. You all seem so far away, all the way back here, but this is social distancing at an extreme, I think. So I really don't feel like I'm contagious. I've had both my shots, by the way. But it's good to see everybody. I'm probably going to step away from this microphone here in just a minute. Get a little bit closer anyway. Really good to see everybody this morning. I want to welcome you in and welcome you to our worship service. Good to have everybody. And I'm going to put in a plug this morning for, as we begin our worship to God in song this morning. And this is as much for me as anybody. I have to try to remind myself of this from time to time. Listen to the words of the song we sing this morning. The first song we sing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. We're going to sing that this morning, and it's a powerful, powerful message if we pay attention to that and the other songs we sing this morning as well. So I welcome you to, we're going to have opening prayer, and then we'll begin our song service. So good to see everybody. Why don't we stand for opening prayer, and then we'll remain standing for our first couple of songs. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. We're so thankful for all of your blessings. We're especially thankful this morning for Jesus as we sing about him and as we remember him in our communion service here in a little bit. But Father, you've blessed our lives in so many ways, and we have so very much to be thankful for. And help us to come unto you with a thankful heart this morning and worshipful as we recognize and we announce and sing about your majesty and your greatness and your power and your love for us. Thank you for all you do for us and all you've done for us. We pray that you will continue to shower your blessings upon us. Thank you for everyone that's here this morning, and pray that we'll be blessed in our assembly here together this morning. And we're also especially mindful, Father, of our family members that are not able to be out and be with us yet. We ask a special blessing upon them and pray that you'll be with them as they worship with us remotely this morning as well. Thank you again for Jesus and all the blessings we share because of him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus at glory, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unto me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and Christ's love shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior.
Be seated, please. Our song for the communion this morning is How Deep Is Father's Love.
Good morning, church. What a great day to worship our Lord and take part in the communion. First, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye shall eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let every man therefore examine himself, and so let them eat of this bread and drink of this cup. Every Sunday, we come here as the early Christians did and eat the bread and drink a cup of the Lord, take part of his body that it was sacrificed on the cross for our sins, and remember his blood, his life, which he gave us so that we also have life, because he is the bread and he is life. And in John 6:35, he says this, "And Jesus said unto him, I am that bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth me shall never thirst. In John 15:5, he says this also. He says this, I am that vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me can ye do nothing." Let us pray for the tokens of the communion. Dear Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come together to remember your Son, who gave us life on the cross so that we may have life and a chance at redemption. Let us consider his life, his body, the bread that represents his body, and the cup that represents his blood. Let us remember everything that he has done for us. Let us remember everything that you have done for us and will continue to do for us. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So to take the bread, we take the clear film off first. We peel it back like so, and we consume the bread. And when you are ready, you can peel back the bottom film to drink from the cup. Next part of the service is when we pray for the offering. Since we are in the times of COVID, the offering plate that would normally be passed around is in the back. So on your way out from the service today, please give what you can so the work of the church may continue, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for giving us another day of life. Please give us a giving heart so that we are able to support the work of the church, so that we're able to carry out your will in this community and the communities all about us. Please let us continue to look to you in everything that we do so we can do everything we can to glorify your name. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Now this is the time when we send all the children to go to Sunday school. They will go to the gymnasium so that they can go part of the lesson.
Tomorrow, because Good morning, church. I'll ask you guys can go ahead and stand up again and greet one another social distance-wise, however you guys want to do that. The most creative way wins, so it's a competition. You guys are getting real loud in here, man. Sounds great. Let's see. Okay, cool. All right, if you want to find your seat. Chris, find your seat. I'll start treating you like I treat my kids. For those of you who don't know, I don't have kids. I have students, because I'm a substitute teacher, and that's how I treat my kids. All right, well, good morning. It's so good to be here this morning. I'm really excited to be able to worship here at Canosity Church again. As you can see, I'll Believe It When I See It is our title of our sermon. If you want to go ahead and jump on over to John 4, that's where we're going to be landing today. I got asked to preach this morning because certain somebody got his second vaccine and thought that he was going to be a baby about it. So he's okay, I think. I mean, as okay as he's going to be. But no, I know that it has taken a toll on some people. Other people have been blessed and not gotten anything. So if you guys are one of the ones that have your vaccine, your second vaccine, and were blessed not to have any side effects from it, congratulations. You're in the top 10% of the world. All right, so I'll believe it when I see it. Let's pray this morning. Think about this idea of I'll believe it when I see it as we pray. And if you have anything that you need to just ask God, go ahead and have that on your heart, on your mind, and we'll bless that to him. Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you, God, thanking you for another day. God, just being able to look outside, I believe in you. God, if I didn't believe in you, I wouldn't be here this morning. And so, God, I just pray that you are able to take my belief and just use it for your good. God, I pray over each and every person in this room this morning. I pray with those who are worshiping with us online. God, I pray with those who are sick and who are hurting and who are in need. I pray for those that are on the minds of the people here. I pray that their voices are heard, and we know that they are heard by you. God, we thank you for this family that's able to come together and worship you and praise, worship you in prayer. And God, I just pray that the Spirit is able to use me as a vessel and say what is needed to be said, and that one, even if one person hears it, God, I just thank you for that, for blessing that. God, we thank you so much for every blessing that you give to us, and it's in your precious and holy name that we pray, and amen. First off, I just want to make sure everybody can hear me, right? I haven't used this thing in a little bit, so. All right, so, I'll believe it when I see it. How many of us have heard this phrase before? Yeah, growing up, I think this was my mom's favorite phrase. I invited her here. Obviously, she didn't want to hear me preach. So I'm just going to talk about her behind her back now. So one main thing, if you have kids, I do not have kids. But if you have kids, I'm sure you've heard, yes, I'm going to clean my room. What's your parent response? I'll believe it when I see it. And I'm sorry if this is pixelated and you can't see it too well. But that's a messy room. And I'm sure you as a parent have said, I'll believe it when I see it. I know that I heard that growing up a lot. Yeah, okay, Jacob, I'll believe it when I see it. Or, you know, I never saw this letter, but there are some out there who have seen this letter before on a test. And yes, Mom, I'm going to do better. I promise. I'm going to raise that F to an A. You know, all you have to do is draw one little line on the right and you've changed it. Okay, Jacob, I'll believe it when I see it. I did see this letter, by the way, just a couple times. Or what about the chores? You know, and I care that I'd pick on her this morning. You know, when the chores are piling up, the dishes are piling up, she says, or I say, yes, I'll get to them. And she says, I'll believe it when I see it. Right? Or your kids have their chores and you say, I'll believe it when I see it. Here's a fun one. This is a grand piano. So, my grandma, this is probably in my high school days, my grandmother promised me. She said, Jacob, if you ever get your master's degree, I will buy you a grand piano. I'm halfway through my master's degree now, and she's like, how about when you get a PhD? So my response is, I'll believe I'll see this grand piano, you know, or I'll believe it when I see it. Or, for those of you who are Cleveland Brown fans, you'll believe it when you see it, or I'll believe it when I see the Browns win the Super Bowl. But we know this phrase. We know this, I'll believe it when I see it phrase. And these are all examples of this here. And so we kind of get this idea of I'll believe it when I see it through the second miracle of Jesus and John. Last week, I believe Stephen preached on turning water into wine, the first miracle that we see in the book of John. So this week, we're going to be talking about the official son who Jesus heals as his second miracle. So we're going to start in John chapter 4. We're going to kind of walk our way through this. I'm going to stop and pause and explain a couple things that I have found interesting in my study on this. So in John chapter 4, verse 43, it says, after the 2 days he departed for Galilee, he had just been at the well with the Samaritan woman. In verse 44, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. Now, these few verses are very interesting because I like verse 44. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. If you go to John chapter 1 and verse 11, John says he came to his own, this is Jesus, and his own people did not receive him. So Jesus, it's solidifying this idea that the prophet is not honored in his own hometown. But in verse 45, it says the Galileans welcomed him. So go back, he was not welcome in his own hometown, but they welcomed him. But there's a comma. They welcomed him having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. So I don't know if Jesus would have been welcomed into his own hometown if he hadn't done a miracle already, if he hadn't turned the water into wine, they wouldn't have welcomed him. So this is kind of a asterisk. I like the word asterisk. I use that a lot. Like, yes, I'll do the dishes, asterisk, like in my own time. Or, you know, if whenever I'm in the kitchen doing something else, I'll go ahead. So there's this asterisk of our believing. And so this welcoming is an asterisk. It's like, they're going to welcome him, but we are going to add our own asterisk because we already know that Jesus can perform these miracles. There's this reason as to why they're welcoming him. Otherwise, they wouldn't have welcomed him. And so that's interesting in and of itself for me, because I'm like, when have I been asterisked welcomed into somewhere? Like, oh yeah, Jacob, you're invited to this place because of this. Instead of, Jacob, you're invited. That's it. But it's, Jacob, you're invited because I know that you can do X, Y, and Z, or I know that you are X, Y, and Z. And so there are different asterisks that we add to our welcoming, our believing. And so if we move on, verse 46, it says, so he came again in Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And so this man, this official, this royal, some people think it's this royal official who has something to do with King Herod. And so this royal official comes from Capernaum to Cana, which, if we look at this map, which, how pixelated is it? Okay, so up in, there's Capernaum up to the right of the sea. And Cana is over here to the left, the top dot up there. That's about 16.47 miles. That does not sound like a very far distance to us because we have vehicles. But I actually MapQuested it on, or used the Maps app on my phone earlier. And if you were to walk 16.47 miles, it's about 10-hour walk, and that's without stops. Yes, he probably rode on, you know, animals and stuff, but still, that's a long way in this time to come to Jesus. And also, he had heard that Jesus had come from Judea, so it's like this word of mouth, like, okay, Jesus is coming, Jesus is here, now I'm going to go here so that I can ask him to heal, come with me. And so Jesus is probably tired from his walk from Judea to Cana, and it's like, okay, I'm going to ask this guy who just walked this far to come with me this far to heal my son so that he can come back this far. It's all sorts of far, near and far. But this kind of gives you an idea of where everything was at this time. And so Jesus came to Cana, and this official at Capernaum was there, and he was like, I need my son to be healed. So I'm going to walk. I'm going to ride my donkey. I'm going to call an Uber donkey and say, hey, can you come pick me up? I got to get over here to see Jesus. So he came again. And Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And so here we have, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus is not just saying this to the official. Actually, here I went a little nerdy on this. I don't know what happened to this U. There's an E in between the U. Anyway, so this word, oh, I see what it did. Sorry, it didn't translate very well. So this word up here is idete, which is that little N and then the T and then the E that's actually in the O of the U. Did you follow all of that? That ending that I have in pink actually means plural. It's a you all. And so really you can read this, unless you all see signs and wonders, you all will not believe. And that's kind of where I want to camp out right now and camp out in our sermon. I'll believe it when I see it. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Unless you see what I can do, you're not going to believe in me. And I think that translates to us well. I mean, unless I see an American Idol winner, unless I see that they can actually sing, I'm not going to believe that they won American Idol for their talent, right? Or unless I see that somebody's going to get an A in class, I'm not going to believe that they're going to get an A in class, that they're actually learning something. Unless you see what I can do, Jesus says, these signs and wonders, this turning water into wine, you won't believe in me. But the official kind of is like, okay, I understand that, but listen, my son is sick, and please come down to me before he dies, or come with me before he dies. And Jesus says, go, your son will live. And here's the important part. Jesus just says, go, your son will live. The man believed what Jesus had spoken and went on his way. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if Chris were to say, hey, Jacob, you know, 16 miles away, there's something going on in your life, but I'm going to take care of it right now here for you. And he's just going to do it right then. I don't think I'm going to believe that. This guy trusts that Jesus, believed that Jesus is who he said he was, and went 16.47 miles back home instead of fighting with Jesus saying, no, please, no, I just need you to come with me. No, come with me. It was Jesus said, go. Which, how many times have we seen this idea where Jesus says, go, and people follow immediately? And so here's this other idea where go, your son will live. And this official believed him. And he went on his way. So he's going back home without seeing the signs and wonders. Where Jesus just said, unless you see, you will not believe. This guy did not see, but he believed. And that's where our faith needs to be. Sometimes we don't see Jesus immediately, right? Sometimes we're like, okay, Jesus, the Browns are playing today. Please, I beg of you, I'm praying to you, let them win. And then they don't win, and your prayer is null and void at that point, and you're like, okay, you know, a little bit of my doubt comes into play, right? I taught this lesson of Jesus walking on the water to the kids about a month ago now, and we talked about faith. And we made oobleck. Have you guys ever made oobleck? You just mix cornstarch and water, and it's a really cool science experiment. It's really messy, but it's really cool. It like makes this gelatin liquid that if you put pressure on it or if you keep pressure on it, it's a solid, but once you let go, it's a liquid and it starts dripping. And so I told them, you know, if you have faith, if you have the pressure of faith, then you can walk on the water. And so I had them smacking the pan that we had the oobleck in. But if you don't have faith and you don't put that pressure on, you're kind of sinking into the oobleck and your hands get all dirty and gross. It's the same way with believing. This believing is having faith, is having that pressure to walk on the water. But once your doubt starts sinking in, you start sinking in. And once you start losing that pressure of faith, that pressure of believing, you start sinking into the water. And so this is what's happening. This official is actually having that pressure of faith, is having that believing in Jesus and who he says he is, and running back to home to see that his son is going to be healed. And so to finish this story, as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign, the second miracle that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. So what does the story have to do with us? Yeah, that's all fine and dandy that this official son got healed way back when Jesus healed him from far away. But so what? What does this have to do with me and my faith and what I can do? Well, it shows the grace of Jesus. Go back to verse 49. He says, go and your son will live. Like Jesus said, after all of these people came to him and he said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus doesn't fight with it after the official says, please come with me. He just says, your son will live. Jesus shows this grace to this official, to the son, and he shows this grace to us. We may not need healed physically, but spiritually we need healed so much more than we could ever imagine. And so he shows us this grace that he showed this official. He showed this son. We know of the power of Jesus because Jesus, like I said, was 16 miles away. Jesus could have been 1,000 miles away from the son and still healed the son. That's how powerful Jesus is. Because it says the son was recovering, and when? Yesterday, when Jesus said, your son will live. The power of the words of Jesus healed the son, which caused the official to believe. And so here's where it lies for us, is our belief in Jesus. At the end, everyone believed. The household believed. And he himself, the official, he himself believed. Although let's think about where this is in our story. So the official believes now, but he believed then. The official believed before he even saw the miracle happen. But he really believed whenever he saw the miracle happen. So did he really believe? Was he kind of that asterisk believe? Was it, I believe in you, Jesus, because I need to get back to my son who's 16 miles away, hoping that you did heal my son, hoping that I'm going to get home and my son's going to be healed. I believe in you, asterisk. The official believed, asterisk. And then once he saw that his son was healed, once he knew when his son was healed, he did believe. He finally found that foundation of believing along with the household. When do we have this belief asterisk? Think about that. When do you asterisk believe? And yes, asterisk is now a verb. So you can go around saying, I asterisk believe, I asterisk want to do my work. Like, you can really use that for your advantage. I want to do my work. Well, you can just put a little air asterisk without anybody knowing. But when have we believed asterisk? I think I've told you this story, but in 2011, my grandfather, it was actually on his birthday, so April 8th, so 10 years ago last week, he was in the hospital and he got diagnosed with MRSA. And I was all the way down in North Carolina and with Express from OVU, like not able to be with my family. And I believed that he would be okay, but I believed asterisk. I believed that the doctors would be okay, would take care of him. But MRSA is dangerous. I don't know anything about it except for that it's dangerous. And he survived. And once he survived, my asterisk went away and I believed. Here's a fun story. So this bird, can you see that? Yeah. This bird is on the back of a hawk. And one year we went to the beach. My whole family went to the beach. My grandma's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. If you couldn't tell by her buying me a grand piano for getting a master's degree. But she came inside We were all out, or we were inside. She was outside, like getting some sun. And she ran inside as fast as she could run. She doesn't run. She walked briskly inside. And she said, "I just saw a bird riding on a hawk." And we all looked at each other. And we all went, "Grandma, did you take your meds today? Are you sure you saw a bird on the back of a hawk?" And she was like, "Yes, I saw." And I mean, to this day, we actually were just talking about this last time I was in Parkersburg. To this day, she will tell anybody, "I saw this bird on the back of a hawk." And as you can tell, I found a picture of it. But I mean, is it Photoshopped? Is it? I don't know. I still don't believe that she saw a bird riding on the back of a hawk. But it was one of those, "Okay, Grandma, I believe you. I believe what you're saying, asterisk. I believe that." And any time that she thought that she saw, like at home, thought that she saw a bird riding on the back of a hawk, she would be like, "Come quick, come quick." And there would be like a hawk over here and a bird over here, and we would never see it together. And I'm like, "Grandma, you saw something. Like, you did not see what you actually saw." She's like, "Yes, yes, I did. I promise you, I saw a bird on the back of a hawk." So I believe, and I mean, to this day, I still believe, asterisk, my grandmother saying that she saw a bird riding on the back of a hawk. But how does this translate to our faith? What does it take for you to believe in Jesus? Obviously, there's some form of belief in us all, or else we wouldn't be here right now. We would not be sitting in the pews. We would not be looking at a bird on the back of a hawk. Like, we have some sort of a belief. But is your belief, "I believe, I'm walking on that oobleck, and I'm not going down at all"? Or is your belief the belief asterisk? "I believe in God when I need him. I believe in God when I need to on Sundays. I believe in God when it's important for me. But on those days where I don't necessarily see God or don't necessarily need God, you might believe in him, but do you believe? Or do you believe asterisk?" So this belief that we have translates to us today. And we each have our own reasons to believe. I can't sit here and say, "You need to believe because blank." Because I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what you're going through to have your belief. And some days your belief's probably stronger than others. This year's been pretty tough on us all, I'm sure. And I'm sure there were times in this year that we had the belief asterisk. I'm sure this week there was a time that we had a belief asterisk. So what does it take for you to believe fully and surely, like the man, like the official who believed Jesus whenever he said, "Your son is healed," and he took off running rather than fighting with Jesus? He believed and he went home. What does that belief look like in you? For me, one thing that helps me to believe every day is being able to look outside and seeing flowers blooming. We have a really cool bush that, like, we bought our house this year, and I think it's a springtime bush because we never saw it last year when we bought it in the summer. And so it started growing, and at first I was like, "This is a weed, but it's a weird weed, so I'm going to get rid of it." But I did some Googling because, you know, that's what you do whenever you see something that you don't know. And you're like, "I don't want it to be poisonous and harm me." And so it's like, I wish that I brought a picture or something of it. But it's like this little heart. It's a pink heart with like a little tail that has two little water pockets. And I was like, "What in the world is this?" And Kara was like, "I don't know. Neither of us have green thumbs. So like, I'm surprised it's even still alive." I think it's one of those that you don't have to do anything with. I think that's what it is, because I looked it up and it said that it's not really like here. Like, it's normally more common in Japan and other places, but not St. Albans, West Virginia. But it was really cool that we had that. And I was like, that's beautiful. And this is what it takes for me to believe, is just seeing something out of the ordinary and knowing that God created it. And that helps my belief. But I will be the first one to tell you, on those days that it's dreary and cold and gross and rainy outside, my belief turns into like maybe a half asterisk, because I'm like, ugh, I don't want to be awake. I just want to sleep all day, but I have to go to work and I have to do this. And so I see not the beautiful shining sun and not the beautiful, like, hearing the beautiful tunes of a bird, not on the back of a hawk. What does it take for you to believe? So this morning, if you are having trouble in your belief, if you are wondering, why do I believe? Or what does it take for me to believe? Or are you at a time of a belief asterisk? And I hope you guys start using that and coin me on it, because it's fun. But I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe in Jesus when I see him do his work. Not every day. Because why would I? I'll believe in Jesus when I see it. When we need to change that and say, I see it, and so I believe it. And so on the Polar Express, I don't know if any of you have seen this movie, but I love the Polar Express. And this is one of my favorite lines in it, and I thought that it went real well with it. Tom Hanks' character says, seeing is believing, but sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we cannot see. The most real things in this world are the things we cannot see. We may not be able to see Jesus at every minute of every day because we might not be looking for him. I can see Jesus in all of you. But the most real things in this world are the things we cannot see. If you need prayers from the church this morning, if you need to come forward and accept Jesus in baptism, that would be awesome for you and for your belief. But if you just need prayers to help you in your belief asterisk, then come forward this morning as we stand and as we sing.
Good morning, church. Thank you all for being here this morning, and thank you to everyone who's participated in the service this morning. Appreciate Jacob jumping in and filling in for me, and did a wonderful job with that. Real quick, before we dismiss, want to make you aware that Rita Robinson is dealing with COVID, and so she's having a little bit of a rough time with that. Ask for our prayers, and just so remember her in our prayers, as well as you others who haven't been able to be here with us for various reasons. Also, don't forget, in the back, we've got a couple of different things going on. We're gathering some supplies to be sent to Potter Children's Home, and then we are also doing our stuffed animal drive to be given to the counseling center at CAMC Women's and Children. If you have any questions about that, feel free to see me, and I'll do the best that I can to answer those. But once again, appreciate everyone being here, and we'll look forward to seeing you again next week. But as we close, let's close with a prayer. Holy Father, we thank you so much for all that you are, all that you mean in our lives. We thank you for the way that that you just watch out for us and care for us. And Father, we pray that our faith will just continue to grow. Father, we pray that you will be with this church, and pray that you will give us the strength and that we need to keep on pressing on through the difficult times of trying to be together but still being physically distanced. Father, we pray that you will just help us to be an encouragement to one another in all the ways that we possibly can. Father, we pray for Rita and pray that you will be with her and with her family. Pray that you will help her to recover from this illness. Pray that you will continue to be with all those who are dealing with COVID or taking care of people who are dealing with it. We just pray that you will continue to push us towards the end of this, Father, and we thank you for the progress that's been made so far. We thank you for our healthcare workers who have been on the front lines and taking care of those who are struggling with this, and we just we thank you for their willingness and their heart and their love that they have shown to others. Father, we pray that as we leave here today, that you will watch after us, and that you will help us to go out into this world and be a shining light for you. We love you so much, Father, and it's your Son's name that we pray. Amen.